You need this?
No, I don't need that.
Okay.
Thanks.
No worries.
Cool. All right. So really, something the Lord has just really laid on my heart recently, and I've just been trying to share it with as many people as I can because it's a big deal. And the thing the Lord really laid on my heart is just prayer and our constant need for prayer. And a lot of times I think, well, yeah, I need to pray more. I need to pray more. I'm not praying enough. But recently the Lord has been really laying on my heart, I need to pray bigger. I'm not praying big enough. Yeah, I really don't pray enough time. I don't think anybody prays for enough time during the day. But how big are we praying? Well, one day, I was sitting downstairs in the basement with my little brother. And my little brother he just graduated from the Air Force Academy. And just like anybody in the United States Armed Forces, he says his branch is the best. And so he just graduated from the academy, and I was sitting in the basement with him, and we were watching the news, and something came on, and they talked about the Special Forces, and how the Special Forces had done this amazing thing, and accomplished the mission, and they're talking all about this, and I said, wow, that's cool, and my little brother looked at me, and he said, yeah, but it was the Air Force that did everything. I said, what? Wait a second. It looks to me like the Special Forces pretty much went into the country alone, captured this guy alone, and did everything alone. And he said, no, the Air Force did everything. I said, okay, you're going to have to explain this to me. And he said, look at it this way. He said, the Special Forces guys, they get dropped behind enemy lines. He said, by the way, it's an Air Force airplane that takes them behind enemy lines. But he said, they get dropped behind enemy lines, and immediately they're faced with three options. Option number one, they're going to face this enemy head on. This enemy outnumbers them 100-1. This enemy has tanks, has aircraft. This enemy is way more powerful than them. He said, option number one, they can face this enemy head on and charge straight into the fire and hope that they're more lucky than Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I said, okay, that doesn't sound too good. And he said, okay, so option number two. It's like, okay, this is better. He said, option number two, they can turn around and run away as fast as they can and hope they don't get shot in the back. I said, okay, well, that doesn't really work either. I said, okay, see, what's option number three? He said, option number three, they can sit still. They cannot move a muscle. Sit still and then call in on the radio and tell the Air Force, these guys are up ahead, please send the fighters. And the Air Force comes and bombs them and they can walk forwards and accomplish their mission. And he was telling me that, and I just started thinking. I thought, you know what? That's us. That's us. We're dropped behind enemy lines right now. We're behind enemy lines, and we have three options. We can face enemy head on, an enemy that we all know is much more powerful than us, and hope that we can get lucky. Or we can run away, and hope we don't get shot in the back as we're running. Or we can call on the power of the Holy Spirit. Call on the one who has the power to take out the enemies, to soften the hearts of people that we're trying to reach, and go forward to accomplish our mission. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you so much for this power you've given us, this power of prayer. I thank you for that we can all be superheroes. We can all be the Special Forces heroes as we go throughout our daily missions. But it's not of our own power. It's of your great power. And Father, we just thank you for that ability you've given us, that ability to do your work as we call on you. In your name, amen. Please turn with me to Joshua chapter 10. While you're going there, I'll just remind you a little background of the story. So Joshua has taken over from Moses, and the great man Moses that had a personal relationship with God, Joshua has taken over for him. And now he is leading the Israelites, and they're doing some amazing things. First, they march around the city of Jericho and take down the walls and destroy that city. And then they have a minor setback with the city of Ai, but they come back from that. They pray and ask God and figure out what the problem is and then go forward and they come back and take out that city. But then we come to the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites, they're scared of Israel, and they decide, we're going to trick them. And so they come in, and they ask Israel to make a treaty and make it look like they're from far away, and Israel doesn't consult with God. They don't pray, and they just accept this treaty. And now they're in a bind, because all the southern forces have allied together, and they're coming up to attack the Gibeonites that they've made a treaty with that God hadn't sanctioned. And the Gibeonites cry out to Israel and say, come save us, we made this treaty. And Israel is faced with a problem. They have to march all night. They have to march all night in order to meet this alliance of the whole southern alliance, to meet them in battle in the morning. And so they get together and they march all night. And they get there ready to fight, and they begin fighting. And the battle's looking pretty good. They start winning the battle. But then Joshua notices something. He notices the sun's going down. As the sun gets all the way down, darkness is going to come and the enemy can escape. They can escape and regroup, and they're going to have to fight this battle all over again. So let's start reading Joshua chapter 10. We're going to start with verse 12. It says, on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon, O moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jasher. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down for about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. I love this story. I love reading about Joshua because he was a superhero. He was a great hero, but he was a hero because he was a man of prayer. When we look at this passage, we can realize that as we fight for the battle of eternity, we're called to pray big and call on airstrikes on our enemies. Reading this passage, I really see that there's three ways Joshua shows us to pray big. The first way, Joshua prays with confidence. Joshua asked God to make the sun stand still. That's confidence. He has confidence in his creator. His creator is going to do what he asks to do. Let's look at verse 8. And Joshua's talking to God, or the Lord's talking to Joshua, and it says, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I've given them into your hands. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. God had made Joshua a promise that they were going to be given over to him. And so Joshua had the confidence in God that God was going to be able to take care of his task. Well, God's given us a promise. God has given us many promises. Do we have the confidence to pray and ask God to fulfill those promises? Next way we see that Joshua prays is he prays without ceasing. I just love this. I love to imagine these battles in the Old Testament. And I imagine Joshua, and he's at the front of his army. He's the commander. He's leading his army. And they go to fight, and Joshua has his sword, and I imagine he chops this guy over here and turns over here and chops this guy. There's arrows flying around him, swords going everywhere, swords clanging. And Joshua looks up in the sky and says, oh no. And he falls on his knees and he prays. In the middle of the battle, Joshua stops to pray. He had the perfect excuse not to pray. He was in the middle of doing God's work. Why take the time to pray? I'm doing God's work right now. But he stopped to pray. He prayed without ceasing. When we look at the Bible and read through the Bible, we see heroes, all kinds of heroes, men and women. They're so different, have such a varying degree. But the common factor between all the heroes is they stopped and took time to pray. When we read this passage, Joshua, we need to remember to pray without ceasing. Don't stop in our prayers. And then the last point that Joshua really showed me in this is, don't hold back in our prayers. Pray big. Don't hold back. I'm going to read 12 and 13 again just because this is really cool. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon, O moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. The sun stood still and the moon stopped. So there's lots of theories and different commentaries about how this happens. And I love reading these theories. I always think it's really funny that we try to explain different aspects of God and try to put God in our human box and figure out how God does things. But I was reading one theory, and this guy was, he's so smart, just a genius. And I was reading about how God made the sun stand still and the moon stop. How could God lengthen the time of the day without disrupting everything? And this guy said, well, you know, the earth is tilted a little bit. And he said, so in the middle of the summer, the North Pole has 23-hour days. And so he said, what God did is he just rotated the earth. So Israel was at the spot of the North Pole so they could have a 23-hour day. I was just like, wow, that guy is smart. I would never thought of that. And then I started thinking a little bit more and I said, wait a second. If Israel's up here, where'd the North Pole go? North Pole is down at the equator. And so I started doing some research on the melting and different factors there. And I found out that if that had happened, Joshua would have been fighting underwater. And so I decided, okay, we're going to throw that theory out. Next commentary. So I started reading the next commentary, and this guy, another genius. And he's just so smart. These things, I would just never think of them. And he said, you know, we have day and night because the earth is spinning. I was like, yeah, okay. And so he said, so the earth is spinning, and so God just stopped the earth and held it still for an extra 12 hours so that Joshua can finish his battle. I thought, all right, there you go. He just stopped earth. And that was the theory I was going with. And then my little brother came, and I was telling my little brother this theory, and of course he's the Air Force, a physics major, and he's talking to me, and he says, well, there's a problem with it. I said, okay, what's the problem? He said, well, you've ridden a train in China before. I said, yeah, I've ridden lots of trains in China. He said, I heard they're really bad. And I said, yeah, they're just horrible. You don't want to ride a train in China. And he said, so if there's a problem with the tracks, what happens? I said, well, the conductor just slams on the brakes and stops the train immediately. So then we don't fall off the tracks. And he said, yeah. So what happens to everybody inside the train? I was like, well, you get a pile of people on the front of the train. And he said, okay. He said, the earth spins at 1,000 miles per hour. I said, yeah. And he said, so what happens if God suddenly slams on the brakes of the earth? I was like, I guess you get a pile of people on the nearest mountain range. He said, yeah. And I did ask him, I said, can we leave the atmosphere? And he said, no, 1,000 miles per hour won't get us out of the atmosphere. So that's not how the rapture is going to happen. But... So I decided, you know what, I just got to come up with my own theory. And so I work on my own theory, and the only explanation I can come up with is that God stopped time. God stopped the entire universe so Joshua could finish his battle. The whole universe so Joshua could accomplish his task. That's a huge prayer. Imagine if we pray like that. What can we accomplish if we have that confidence? If we pray without ceasing, what can we accomplish when we're praying big to our Almighty Creator? I love Ephesians 6. I've always really loved the putting on the armor of God. But until recently, I've missed the point. I always think of putting on the armor of God, oh yeah, that's so cool. You got the sword, the shield, it's so cool. But the point is, we're in a battle. We're in the middle of a battle, and we need to be fighting that battle. So praying is not our McDonald's intercom that we push a button and say, I need a cheeseburger and fries. Praying is our lifeline. It's our intercom that we need to be calling in airstrikes. We need to be asking for reinforcements. Praying is our way of reaching out to our commander. So let's go ahead and pray then. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for being so powerful. I thank you for allowing us to call on that power to do amazing things. Father, please just help us. Help us as we go throughout the day and our entire lives. Help us to remember that by ourselves, we can really do nothing. But it is through the power of prayer that we can really change lives and we can change this world that you've given us to live in. In your name, amen. So, thinking of reasons to pray and going along with this being a Mission Sunday, I want to just show you this video and really think about what do we need to be praying for. We can't, as humans, really even comprehend that number. And according to the CIA World Factbook, of that 7 billion, about 10% are going to heaven. We have a huge job to do. Luckily, though, we have a huge God that we serve. Me personally, I believe God has called me to the country of China. And I was saved when I was 5 years old. During that time, I have two older brothers, and they just kept pestering me and telling me, Peter, you need to accept Christ. Peter, you need to accept Christ. And I thought, you know, yeah, I know the stories. I know it's important to accept Christ, but I haven't done anything bad, so I don't need to accept Christ. And so I was going on, and one day I was walking home from school with my mom, and I was talking to my mom, and I was telling her, Mom, you know, there's these two bullies, and they're just picking on this other kid all day long, and I feel so sorry for that other kid. You know what? Those two bullies, they just really need to accept Christ. And my mom looked at me and said, you did the same thing to your little brother a week ago. Oh, I realized right then, I need to accept Christ. And so I told my mom, stop right here. And we just stopped right there in the middle of the street, and that's where I prayed and accepted Christ. Then when I was 8 years old, I was listening to a sermon, and the sermon was on the Great Commission. And during that time, the pastor was saying, you know what? Maybe God is speaking to your heart. Maybe God is telling you that you need to go somewhere. You need to do something. You need to reach out to other people. And during that time, I just kept thinking of all the people in the world that don't have those two older brothers, godly older brothers, to keep pestering them and telling them they need to accept Christ. And so I decided at that point that God was calling me to be that older brother to people and to pester people to tell them they need to accept Christ. Well, a little bit later, when I was 12, we had a missionary come to our church from Africa, and she was speaking in our church. And during the time she was speaking, I realized being a missionary isn't having a great linguistic ability or this amazing personality that everybody wants to come to. But being a missionary is loving God so much that He causes you to love somebody else. And so you project that love of God onto that person. And so I decided, okay, I need to find out what people God really wants me to love. And so I began reading stories and reading books on culture. And I stumbled across the story of Hudson Taylor. And I read that story, and immediately I realized God was calling me to go to the people of China and be a missionary to the people of China. And so I began working towards it. I decided when I was choosing a college, I'd choose a college that wasn't a Bible college so I could get into China. And the college had to have English teaching as a degree and Chinese as a degree. And so I found a college with that and went to that college. And during that time, God just kept providing me scholarships so that I could go study in China during the summers. And so 2 summers, I was able to go to China and study Chinese language there. And by the time I graduated, the school said they had never met somebody who learned the language so quickly. And I thought, wow, okay, that's great. God's really given me a gift. And they said, we want you to give a speech for all the colleges in the U.S. Professors are going to come from all over the U.S. We want you to give a speech on language acquisition and how they can teach language acquisition better. I thought, wow, okay, cool. And so for my graduation, I gave a speech for all these professors on language acquisition. I used Chinese and I taught Chinese. And when I finished the speech, this man came up to me. This man was just huge. And he was looking down on me, and he's like, I have some questions for you. Like, oh boy, okay. What's your question? He said, how fast can you run a 40? I was like, what? What does that have to do with Chinese? He said, just answer. And so I answered. He said, how much can you bench press? I said, okay, what's going on here? And he said, come in this room. I went in the back room with him, and he showed me a badge and said, I work for the FBI. And your Chinese language ability is better than anything we've ever seen before. We want you to come for the FBI and train agents in Chinese and work in China. I realized then, okay, God has really given me a gift. God has called me to the people of China. Obviously, I didn't take the job because FBI on the resume in a communist country doesn't look very good. But I knew then God really was calling me to China. So I got a teaching internship to go to China, and so I worked there for a year. And during that time, I met up with missionaries from ABWE, the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. And I worked with them closely, and after the year was up, they told me, please come back and join our team, and please, so go to America, get ready, sign up with the mission, complete all the coursework, get your master's degree in Bible, and then come join our team. And so that's what I've done for the past year, and now I'm preparing to head back to China. Actually, August 15th right now is my departure date for going back to China. Well, just tell a little bit about China. This here is our map of China. If the map, the land area of the map represents the people of China, then that yellow right there is the number of Christians. But it gets worse than that. Of the Christians, there's about 80 million Christians. Of them, probably about 3% is the minorities of China. So God has really called me to work with the minorities of China and work with the Chinese Christians in reaching out to the minorities of China. God has placed me in this city here, the city of Xi'an. And it's a strategic city because students from all over China come to this city. And so by working in a college there, I can reach out to students from all over China. These four arrows, I chose these four particular because they're students I've worked with from these four areas of China. And these four areas of China just happen to be restricted areas. Foreigners cannot get into these areas. But by these students coming to the college and learning and being discipled, there's now four missionaries in those restricted areas of China. But it gets better than that. Because we're not just reaching China. Those four areas just happen to speak two languages. They have their local tongue, and then they speak Chinese. Their local tongue is 80% compatible. Each of those areas has local tongue 80% compatible with these four areas. These four areas are restricted countries where missionaries can't go, but Chinese can go, and they already know the language. So by reaching that city of Xi'an, it can reach Asia, and we can reach the whole world. Well, I told you that the FBI wanted to recruit me for Chinese, so I cannot go without teaching you guys some Chinese. So I said, I got to teach some Chinese. So Chinese is a cool language because it's a tonal language. So you can say each word four different ways, and it means four different things. So we're going to take the word ma. Everybody say it with me, ma. Okay, so the first way to say this word, this is the first tone. It's in the 70th percentile of your range. So the upper region of your voice range, and it's just going to be a flat monotone. And so it's going to be ma. So everybody say ma. Awesome. You guys just learned how to say mom in Chinese. Okay, well, we're going to go for our second tone. This one's a little bit more fun. This one we're going to start at 30% and rise up to 70%. So this one we go ma. Everybody say it with me, ma. Yeah, you guys are awesome. So that's the name of a plant. Okay, so we're going to get a little more tricky, though. This one's really fun. If you watch the people next to you, if you watch their heads are going to move on this one. So this one, you start at 70, you go down to 30, and then you go back up to 70. So it's ma. Everybody say it with me, ma. You guys are awesome. You're ready to go to China with me. All right. That means horse. So now you can get in lots of trouble. Don't call your mom a horse. Okay, so we get to our last one. This one, you start at 70, you go down to 30. It's like you're yelling stop at somebody. And so it's ma. Everybody say it with me, ma. All right. And so that one is a verb. It means to scold. So the Chinese love messing with people on this one because they can say ma, 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 ma. It means my mom scolded the horse for eating the plants. So it gets a little tricky, but it's pretty fun. Well, now that you know that, we're going to learn this song here. This is Jesus Loves Me, the chorus of Jesus Loves Me. So this first word, it's the fourth tone, so it's like you're yelling stop at somebody, but it's pronounced sure. Everybody say it with me, sure. Okay, and next word we have da. And then yesu. What do you think yesu might mean? Yeah, okay, and then we have I. And then wah. All right, you guys are good. Okay, we're going to put a couple words together. We have shirt. Yesu. I wah. You guys are awesome. Okay, the whole line, you ready for this? Shirt. Yesu. I wah. Great, you guys are awesome. Okay, last one, we're going to change things up. We have sheng, jing, jiu, zheyang, shuo. All right. Well, this is Chorus for Jesus Loves Me. You guys all just learned it. You guys are experts in Chinese, so now you have to sing it. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to sing the verse in English. When we get to the chorus, we're going for Chinese. All right, let's go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Here we go. 是的，耶稣爱我。 是的，耶稣爱我。是的，耶稣爱我。圣经就这样说。 All right, you guys are awesome. You guys got to pack your bags. You're coming with me to China. That's awesome. All right, so I was thinking, you know, what can I really say to inspire people about missions? What can I say to make people think, you know, I need to pray for missions. I need to do something about missions. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, wait a second. I can't say anything. My words are meaningless. So I decided I need to use God's words. So the first one we have is, how then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? I love this verse because it's just so obvious. But it's something we forget about so much. How can they hear if we don't tell them? How can they know Jesus if we don't tell them about Jesus? One of the minority groups that I'm really working with, and I do a lot of work with this minority group, is called the Uyghurs. In this group, there's 13 million people. Of that 13 million, 4% have heard the gospel. Less than 300 believe in Jesus. 13 million and 300. How can they believe if they don't have someone preaching to them? So the next verse that really got to me is, to the weak I've become as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I love this verse because you've probably noticed by now talking, I can't stand still. I'm walking all over the place. So I have ADD. I can't stand still at all. And I love this verse because as a Christian, as a missionary, we get to be everything. We get to be the janitor to reach the janitor. We get to mow the lawn to reach that guy that's mowing the lawn. We get to be everything. So these are just some pictures of some of the things that I've done in China in order to reach different people in China. Like farming rice in a field with a farmer for a day, just so I could share the gospel with him for that one day. But to tell you the truth, when I first arrived in China, I was a complete chicken. I was so scared of the government. I was so scared that I was going to lose my dream. It's been my dream to be a missionary since I was 8 years old. I was so scared I was going to lose that dream. And so I decided when I arrived that I was going to follow the law of China. And I was only going to tell somebody about God if they asked me about God. Well, that last verse, how can they believe without someone telling them about them? Not many people asked me about God. So for the first month, I felt miserable. And I just hated what I was doing. I just couldn't explain it, why I felt so miserable. But then one day, I was walking down the street. I happened to notice a Chinese girl playing basketball by herself. And I thought, that's really weird to see a Chinese girl playing basketball by herself. And so I looked a little closer. And as I looked closer, I noticed she was playing left-handed. I was like, okay, that's just completely strange. In China, if you're born left-handed, your parents tie your hand behind your back until you become right-handed. And so I was like, okay, this is just weird. I gotta go see what's going on. And I just happened to be left-handed. And so I was like, I'm gonna show her something in basketball. And so I go there and I'm teaching her basketball. And as I'm teaching her, all of a sudden, she starts telling me about Jesus. I was like, wait a second! That's my job! And she's telling me about Jesus. And we talk for a little while. And I find out she's a Sunday school teacher in one of the illegal churches. And so we talk for a while and exchange phone numbers. And then we go our ways. And next morning I wake up and look at my phone and I have a text message. This text message is a verse and some words of encouragement. I was like, oh wow, that's really cool. I go about my day. Next morning, a text message, a verse, and words of encouragement. Well, I get to thinking, you know, the Chinese government monitors all the cell phones. When you're riding on a train into Beijing, as soon as you cross over into the city limits, every person on the train, your cell phone rings, and you have a text message, and it says the laws for Beijing. I know China monitors cell phones. I had a friend, a man I was working with very closely, and he was in the wrong place in the wrong time, and there was a riot. He ran home to get away from the riot, but the police tracked the GPS on his cell phone. They pulled him out of his house a week later and took him in and tortured him for 14 days. I know the Chinese government monitors cell phones. And so when I was getting these verse text messages, I finally texted her back and I said, I need to meet you. We need to talk. And so I met her and I said, you know what? It's really great. You're encouraging me. You know, these verses are really great. I don't want to get you in trouble, though. And she looked at me, and she changed my life right there. She stabbed me in the heart and just changed my life. She said, well, Peter, she said, yeah, I'm a Chinese citizen. She said, yeah, the penalty for sending these text messages to a foreigner is 15 years in an intensive labor camp. But she said, you know what? I'd a whole lot rather offend this government than offend my eternal one. That just stabbed me in the heart and just struck me, and I thought, Peter, what are you doing? You're a missionary here and you're scared to share the gospel. She's willing to give her life for this gospel of Christ. And so after that time, I struggled with God that night and I prayed really hard and I said, okay, God, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. I'm gonna step out and I'll do whatever you want. Well, the next day, I was at a supermarket and talking to the shop owner for a little while, and then I walked out of the supermarket and I hear somebody behind me saying, stop, stop, and I stop and they say, I heard you speaking Chinese to the shop owner. I said, yeah, I learned Chinese in college. He said, wow, that's great. I've never met an American who knows Chinese before. I said, oh, thank you. And she said, so, I just want to tell you about myself. My job is, I work for China TV and my job is censorship. I'm part of the Communist Party. My job is just to make sure that nothing bad gets put on China TV. First thought goes through my mind is, God, she's not the one. I'm not starting here. And she said, I have one question for you. I said, okay, what's your question? She said, are you a Christian? I said, what? Really, God? I made this decision last week. Or last night. Can you please just give me a week to build up the courage first? Okay, yes, I'm a Christian. She looks at me and says, wow, that's great. She said, I grew up my entire life with nothing to believe in. And it's not even life. It is horrible. She said, I don't want my daughter to go through the same thing. Can you please teach her about Christ? I was able to go through a Bible study with her daughter for a year. And her daughter has accepted Christ and is leading the family through a Bible study now. God provides the opportunities when we pray and call on Him. But you know, God wasn't finished with me. He wanted me to grow a little bit more. And so He gave me another test. And I decided, you know what? I need to step out more. Yeah, I'm doing Bible studies with this 13-year-old girl, which is the most illegal thing a Christian can do in China, is talk to young people. But I said, you know what? I need to step out more. So I decided, okay, I'm going to open an English class in my house. And I'm going to open this English class in my house and use the Bible as a textbook. And so I prayed and said, God, please just send me 5 students. If you send me 5 students to come study the Bible in my house, so I'll just do this the whole year. I can have 5 disciples growing and learning about you. And so I started the class and 8 students showed up. I said, praise the Lord. Thank you, God. And so I began the class. The next day I got a phone call from the superintendent of the school I was working at. I said, I heard you're doing an English class in your house. I said, yeah, I am. I said, you know, I just thought these students needed some extra help. They needed some extra practice, so I said, open this English class in my house and have them get some extra help. And she said, okay, well, I can't pay you for it. I said, oh, no, I don't want any pay. I said, you know, this is just my benefiting the Chinese community. And she said, oh, okay, that's really great. She said, but I heard something else. I said, oh, okay, what'd you hear? She said, I heard you using the Bible. Oh, no. I said, well, yeah, I am. And she said, well, that's cool. Can I give some students your phone number so they can come your way also? I said, okay. From then on, I had 40 students every night for the class. And the class kept growing. By the end of the year, I had 120 students. I divided up into 3 different classes. 3 classes learning Bible. So I had 120 students to come learn the Bible. God does awesome things when we pray big to Him. Well, God decided, you know, my faith isn't ready yet. And so I kept working, kept doing different things in China, and somehow I got voted the most interesting teacher. I'm not sure what interesting means, but I got voted the interesting teacher. And so they asked me to give a speech. They asked me to give a speech for 3,000 students. I said, okay, cool. What do you want me to give a speech on? Well, the person in charge was one of the girls who was coming to my Bible study in my house. And she said, I want you to give a speech on the way to joy. She said, you're always smiling. I want you to give a speech on why you're always so happy. And I said, you know what that speech is. And she said, yeah, that's the speech I want you to give. I said, wait a second. Okay. I was like, I get in trouble for this stuff in America. I said, and this is a communist country. I'm not giving that speech. She said, it's okay. She said, all the administration thinks you're speaking on Wednesday. All the posters say you're speaking on Wednesday. But the students, we've sent text messages around. Everybody knows you're speaking on Tuesday. So I was able to share the gospel with 3,000 students in that speech. But by then, I was getting kind of confident in myself. And I was happy with what I was doing. And I was kind of just in a rut and doing what I was doing. But God didn't want me there. And so He sent somebody else to me. And so one day I was getting on the bus to go home after I finished teaching. And as I got on the bus, I ran into a student who had studied at my university in America. She had studied there and as an exchange student. And during that time, she had come to church with me every Sunday. And so we got to talking on the bus. And she said, you know what, Peter, China has a problem. I was like, oh boy, that's a loaded question. I'm on a bus full of Chinese people. It's like, okay, sure. You tell me, what is China's problem? She said, we just don't have morals. I said, you know what? That is a big problem. I said, how do you think that needs to be fixed? And she said, well, when I was in your church, she said, you always taught these Sunday school classes. In these classes, you taught these cool stories of these great heroes. And these great heroes did amazing things. But what was better than that, they taught a good moral lesson also. I said, you know what? You're right. And she said, so I think the Chinese kids need to learn these Bible stories so they can know the morals. I said, you are so correct. And she said, yeah. And you're a teacher. I said, whoa, wait a second. So I was teaching in the college and I was volunteering in a middle school. I'm volunteer teaching in the middle school. And she said, you teach in middle school. It's a perfect opportunity to tell these kids Bible stories. I said, whoa. I said, in America, I lose my job the next day if I teach those Bible stories in the middle school. I said, this is China. And she said, it's okay. I said, what? She said, no, she hasn't accepted Christ yet. She said, your God will protect you. I said, what? My God will protect me? And she said, yeah. I I said, whoa. I said, no, it doesn't work like that. And she said, well, isn't your God the same God as those heroes in the story? Oh, Peter, you failed again. This girl who doesn't believe in Christ is smashing your faith. You need to have more faith. And so I prayed that night and said, okay, God, I'm going to do it. And so I planned my lesson and I left 10 minutes at the end. I was going to tell the story of Daniel. I was excited to tell the story of Daniel. So I walked into the classroom and the director of foreign teachers, that's in my boss, is sitting in the back of the room. I said, what are you doing here? She said, oh, I've got these great reports from parents and students about your teaching, how good it is. I just wanted to come and see one of your lessons. Really? This lesson? You want to come see this lesson? Yeah, I want to see this lesson. Ah. Well, I failed. I stretched out my lesson, and I didn't tell the story of Daniel, because I was scared of her. And for the next hour, I just beat myself up. And I said, you know, Peter, you failed. Is your God the same God as these heroes in the story? Are you willing to step out like these heroes were? And so I decided, okay, next period, I'm going to do it. So I walk in and get ready for my lesson and look in the back. Okay, there's no teacher. We're good to go. And students come in. I start teaching the science lesson. We get halfway through the lesson. And my boss walks back in the room. I said, wait, what are you doing? She said, oh, your lesson was so good last time. I wanted to see it again. I said, no, it's the same lesson. You're going to be so bored. You don't want to be here. She said, no, I really want to be here. It's so good. I said, really, you don't want to? And she said, I'm on my lunch break right now. She said, I'm not even supposed to be watching you. It's just so good. I came to see you. I thought, wow, okay, God is telling me something here. And so I decided, okay, I have to do it. I'm not going to beat myself up again. So I tell the story of Daniel, and it's so much fun. We have kids running all around. Some are lions, some are Daniel. They enjoy it so much. And we finish, and students walk out, and my boss walks by my desk and says, you need to come see me in my office right now. Oh, no. There goes my job. There goes my dream. So I walk into the office, and she looks at me and says, so you changed your lesson? I said, yeah. And she said, well, sure was an interesting story. I said, yeah, you know, I really like that story. She said, yeah, it is pretty cool. I think the students really enjoyed it. I think they learned something from it, too. I said, oh, that's great. And she said, so where'd you get it from? I said, the Bible. She says, okay. Well, that's awesome. From now on, I want you to teach a Bible story in every one of your classes. We have an awesome God. In communist China, in a public school, I'm teaching Bible stories. Amazing. Well, that'll bring us to our next verse. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I love this verse because, yeah, I love praying. Yeah, I love singing praises. But if I get to eat and praise God at the same time, it's like a double bonus right there. That is awesome. Well, when I was first leaving for China, someone from my home church said, well, you know the missionary prayer, don't you? I said, missionary prayer? And they said, yeah. Oh, God, if I can get this down, please help me to keep it down. And I thought, how horrible is that? Why am I not praying, God, I want to praise you. Please let me share the gospel as I eat this weird meat on a stick. Or as I eat this squid on a stick, God, just let me praise you. As I eat deep fried scorpions, God, I'm going to praise your name. Now, just a little side note. China does have McDonald's and KFC and different things like that. This is not all the normal foods. These are specialties. So if you were thinking, oh, I'm going to go to China, don't change your minds. God, I'm going to praise you as I eat these intestines. Or as I eat this pig's brain. But it gets better than that. A frozen pig's brain popsicle. God, I'm going to praise you as I eat this. Or these sheep lungs. Or the deep fried lizard. God, I'm going to give you praise. And of course, there was a chicken foot, and I just couldn't resist trying this out. But you know, this is what it's all about right here. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what it's all about. There's cool stories. There's interesting foods. but about giving our lives to the one who gave us his. He gave us our lives so we can do some of the unimaginable things. A lot of times, you have to just quote this verse to yourself. As you're doing something you don't want to do, I'm giving my life for Christ, who gave his life for me. I love that song we sang today about my all is Christ. So, I lived in this city for a month. It's 118 degrees was the average temperature when I was there. They have no electricity. There's a nice Chinese bathroom. And if that bathroom's not good enough, there's another Chinese bathroom for you. And a nice comfortable bed. And you can always feel really safe in China. This one's really hard to see in this room. But that sign above it says fire extinguisher. And if you don't see that there, it's a squirt bottle. You can always feel really safe. And, you know, just like Paul, there's typhoons, there's earthquakes, floods. But it's giving your life for Christ. So that's going to bring us to our last verse as we wrap this up. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. I've made that my life verse because of the last test God gave me when I was in China. I went to a restricted city in China, the one way out west, the arrow pointing all the way west. I had taught the governor's son of that city, I taught his son English. And so the governor wrote me a note saying I could go to that city. I was the first foreigner to be in that city. The city is 99.9% Muslim. And so I was able to go into that city, and I went with my roommate, who also had lived in that city. And he said, I want you to share the gospel with my friends there. So I brought a bunch of Bibles and a bunch of tracts, and I went into the city. And as I was going around in the city, since it's a restricted city, and obviously I don't really look very much Chinese, I got stopped by the police every day. And I could plan on spending 4 hours a day talking to the police and showing them my paperwork, and 8 hours a day doing my ministry stuff, because I had stopped every day. But a little bit later, I learned a cool trick. Trick was, if I don't act like I know Chinese, then the police will just let me go by. And so there are a lot of times I hear, stop, 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 and I just keep walking, and I hear one of the policemen say to the other one, oh, don't bother him, he doesn't know Chinese, we don't have a translator. And so I go, okay, cool. So I learned this cool trick. And so I got ignored by some of the police as I was going on. Few would stop me, but I could save a little bit of time that way. Well, one day I'm walking down the street and I hear stop, stop, stop. And I was like, oh, trick. And I keep walking. And some man comes and grabs me from behind. I spin around and he's holding up a badge. It says Chinese secret police. Oh, no. What have I gotten myself into now? I just happened to be carrying a backpack with 5 Bibles and 100 tracts in it. And he questions me on the street corner for an hour. I don't have any pictures for this slide because he took my camera and deleted all my pictures off the camera. He said, you can't have any pictures of my city on here. And so he questioned me for an hour and said, you're doing something bad in my city. I said, no, I'm really not doing anything bad. I'm a tourist here. I teach English in this other city. I'm just a tourist here right now. He said, no, you're doing something bad. And I said, no, I'm really not. He said, we have to take you in. We have to search your bag. We have to figure out what's going on. We have to take you in. And so, like, okay. And so they put me in the back of the police car, and we start off down the road. And I'm so worried. I'm just sweating like crazy, and I'm freaking out. God, this is my dream. My dream's gone. I've had this dream since I was 8 years old. God, I learned Chinese. I did all this stuff. My dream's gone. I realized, wait, I said I a whole lot of times there. It's not about me. And so I said, I gotta pray. So I started praying and said, God, you know that time, God, when Balaam was going the wrong direction and you didn't want him going up there, and so you sent the angel, and you sent the angel to make him stop and made the donkey talk and everything. God, you know what? It's been like more than 3,000 years since that happened. I'm sure that angel's pretty bored right now. If you just want to send that angel down, you can even make the police car talk. I really don't mind. Just get me out of this situation. There's no angel. We go a little bit farther. We cross over a river. I said, God, you know that time? That time you turned the Nile into blood? God, that was really cool. And you know what, God? These are police officers, and blood in the river is a whole lot more dangerous than me, and so they have to stop and figure that one out. They'll let me go. No blood. Drive a little bit farther. God, Could you just send the squirrel across the road and make this car swerve and get in a wreck or something? Nothing. Finally, we get to the police station. We walk in, and I walk in the room, and it's like a CIA questioning room. Like, they took it straight from the movies. Like, with the one-way looking glass, the stone walls, the metal table, and somebody looking really mean at one end of the table. And I was just like, oh boy. I'm so worried, and I step into the room. All of a sudden, God gives me a weapon. Gives me the most amazing weapon in the world. I decided to bring it. I put it under this table. I hope the pastor doesn't mind, because bringing weapons into the church. But anyways, I brought it here. I just want to show it to you. Let me pull it out here. Oh, I dropped it. I walk into that room, and I have the biggest, weirdest, goofy smile on my face. And I just can't stop smiling. I'm like, I gotta be serious. This is a police station. I gotta stop smiling. And I can't stop smiling. I walk in there, and the person looks at me and says, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm great." And she looks at me and says, "Do you know where you are?" I said, "It's the police station." All of a sudden, it just hits her, and she says, "Wait a second. You spoke Chinese to me." I said, "Yeah, I studied Chinese in college." She said, "Are you a Russian spy?" I said, "No, no, it's nothing like that. I'm an American." And we just break out into jokes. She said, "I never met an American before." We start talking, and we start telling jokes, and we tell jokes about America and about China and about Obama. And she's just laughing so hard. She can't stop laughing. She's about to fall out of her chair, and she looks at me, and she says, "You know what?" She says, "I have this paper here. I'm supposed to have you sign it. It's an admission of guilt. I'm supposed to search your bag and figure out what's inside your bag. I'm supposed to get your fingerprints and your name. I'm supposed to take your passport and put a stamp on it saying you can't come back into China." But she said, "You know what? You're all right. You can go ahead and leave." Amazing what God does. I start walking out of the room. She says, "Wait, stop." I'm like, "Oh, great. What now?" And she said, "You want me to call that officer back and have him give you a ride home?" I said, "Oh, no, no, thanks. Oh, just take a taxi. Thank you." Amazing what happens when we pray big. We have a big God who will really take care of us. Well, I want to show you this video as I close. I made this video when I first got back from China. When I made this video, it has a bunch of faces in it. Every one of these faces knows of Jesus. The Lord has allowed me to share the story of hope with every one of these faces. But a year ago when I came back from China, of all these faces, not a single one had accepted Christ. But since I've been going around and asking people to pray, 5 of these faces now are believers. Without a missionary, 5 of these faces have accepted Christ. So I want you to choose a face and pray for a face. You don't know anything about the person. You don't know their name. You don't know where they live. You don't know what they do for a job. But I want you to pray for this person, because that is how they can be reached. So I'm going to show you this video. After the video, I just want to point you to the back. I have my display table there. If you could, please sign up your email, your name and email, so that I can be sending you a prayer letter. And I'm trying to get, right now I'm going for 225 people to commit to pray for 5 minutes a day for the people of China, because the people of China need our prayers so much. So please just sign your name back there. Please, if you can, put a check where you want to commit to praying for 5 minutes a day. And please watch this video with me. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just thank you so much for allowing us to do this work on the earth. I thank you for allowing us to touch the hearts of these people. And Father, please just soften the hearts of the many people of China. Please just soften the hearts of all those who we constantly have interactions with. Soften their hearts so that they can come to know you. And Father, today as we think about missions and we think about China and this video, Father, we know that, Father, you might just be pulling on some people's hearts and telling them that they need to go. They need to go to different countries and be missionaries for you. Father, maybe you're pulling on people's hearts and telling them that they need to give more and they need to do more for the missionaries who are out there. And Father, we know right now, we know for a fact that you are pulling on all of our hearts and telling us we need to pray. We need to pray more for the missionaries. We need to pray more for the 7 billion people of the world who need to know you. Father, I just thank you once again for your great power and your ability to save souls. In your name, amen.